101 FM. About the nation, across the nation. Radio Miraya.
Good morning to you and welcome. This is the Miraya Breakfast, of course, where the big conversation begins every morning. It's coming up to 28 minutes past 8 a.m. in the morning. Now, I'm glad to tell you that we'll be having our guests here with us and talking about something very interesting, and that is a book. Now, South Sudanese, among some of the strong Africans who have experienced quite numerous interesting situations in everyday life. The question could be, how much of that is being documented? Well, let us see if we can get closer to the answer as we feature one of South Sudan's authors, Aja Tabita Chol, who is a writer and author of the book The Women of Kush. Now, I'm holding the book right here with me in my hand, The Women of Kush, My Country in War and Peace. Aja, good morning, and it's good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show. Welcome.
Good morning to you, and thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to be in this conversation.
Great, it's good to have you. Now, firstly, we're glad to have you, and of course, talking about this book of yours, The Women of Kush, My Country in War and Peace. Tell us, what's the inspiration behind writing this book?
Well, I thought about how I can be of help to my country. Seeing a country that is in need of a lot of things. We need peace in this country. We need education. There's so many that we need. And I thought that the best way that I can speak to the South Sudanese is by writing, because when I write my book, it will be able to reach different corners of the country and every citizen of the country.
Great. And this book particularly, what is it all about, The Women of Kush?
The Woman of Kush is about the role of women in peace building. That starts all the way from girl child to becoming a great woman of influence. They have spoken about what women are supposed to do to make sure that this nation is able to go forward.
Mm-hmm. And quite, I mean, like, the motivation behind writing this book, we all understand how women work so hard in South Sudan, but most of them have not been documented. Is it something that you think is time people put the role and the contribution of women in books like this?
Absolutely, absolutely. We've been in a community where people just talk, and after they talk, everything ends from there. And I thought what we need to do as South Sudanese is to put our thoughts and everything into writings, so that the generation of today and even the generations that will come will be able to find our works.
Oh, that's great to know. Talking about writing, the writing culture, and it's not really so much the reading and writing culture here in South Sudan. First of all, what took you to writing?
When I was a little girl, I lived with my guardian, who introduced me into reading. He could buy for me a lot of books. So I fell in love with writing because I was able to get the conversation of people that I've lived in the past, and that gave me the interest of writing.
All right. And to the young people who are listening to you, how do they get... You know, what should they do so they can get into writing or to literature, basically?
I think everything starts with motivation. Our people need role models that are in the same field of writing, for them to be encouraged to do writing, because nobody can start something that they do not know. Mm-hmm. For example, when I was in Uganda, I've been surrounded by great writers, and that has really given me the motivation of writing. So what literally our people need is to have people that will be able to mentor them, to give them the guidance of what they need to do, and young people will find themselves there.
At the moment, how will you rate the reading culture among South Sudanese?
I would say the reading culture is very poor in South Sudan. A majority of people are not really interested in writing, but reading, but I've also met a few that are
Exactly. With the introduction of technology, social media, and all that coming in, do you believe that has affected actually the culture of reading? Because many people are just scrolling through their phones every day, and that's what they read. And many people, the book that they read is now Facebook and not really real books. Is that something that you think has contributed to, you know, undermining the culture of reading.
Greatly, it has greatly contributed to that. I've been having a friend that I always argue with, and she's really a very good friend. I tell her, you spend more time on phone than you're supposed to spend in very important things. And she's not the only one. Even I myself, at times, I find myself taken up by phone. But I try to balance my time. When I realize that I'm spending a lot of time on Facebook and WhatsApp, I give myself a period of about 2 or 3 weeks saying that, okay, for this time I will not be on WhatsApp or Facebook, so that I can concentrate on reading my books, doing a lot of programs within campus and so on. So Facebook and WhatsApp has taken 90% of the time youth are supposed to use for doing much better things.
Well, that's important, though. You tell us more about that, taking 2 weeks or 3 weeks to just concentrate on other things and completely out of social media. How do you do it, first of all, and why is that important?
It is very important in a way that it helps me concentrate on more important things. One thing that I have in mind is that social media will always be there. WhatsApp will not go anywhere. The same thing with Facebook and even other applications that are still being introduced. But what I put in my mind is that the time that I have now will keep going. So that alone makes me work on things that are much better, so that I can still come back to the things that are not so much important.
Great. And what do you think should be done for us to bring that culture back? What should be done to bring the culture of reading, the culture of writing back? Because, I mean, before people used to read a lot, people used to write a lot. Than now, actually, people used to, like, everything is written. You don't even text someone. If you want to communicate to someone, you write a letter and it's mailed to the person or sent to the person. How do we get that culture of writing and reading back?
I think young people need to be sensitized about addictions. I have often talked to most people that to be addicted to something is not about talking thinking that alcohol is the only addiction that we have.
Or drugs.
Social media has become one of the leading addictions in this country. And the only thing that we can do to restore writing and reading in young people is to encourage them to take their time off social media and do things that are important, to tell them that they are being taken up by social media and it is adding nothing to their lives.
And do you think government has a role to play in shaping the reading culture of this country?
Yes, the government has that role. For example, the government can build up buildings, put up buildings to host students, or to say that this can be a library for people to come for reading, or come up with different programs that will engage the youth. And that alone will reduce the time they use for media. It doesn't mean that media is bad. It is very good. It helps us to socialize, but it should not be taking us away from the things that are more important.
Awesome. All right, if you just join us, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show. We are talking to Ajata Bita Chol, who is a writer and an author of Women of Course. Now, coming back to your book, if I get this book, what will I get inside the book? What are some of the key stories that are within this book?
Okay, one of the introductory part of the book is about a woman in South Sudan, how a woman is perceived in the culture of South Sudan. I also have one of the chapters that talk about a girl child, because the book is entirely speaking about women all the way from childhood to adulthood. So the book has also talked about girl child education, the role of women in the family, their role in the liberation of South Sudan, the role that they played in the past and even currently, and the one that they are supposed to play in the years to come. So the book covers different topics that are all looking at one, addressing one thing in South Sudan, and that is making a better country.
God, that's great to know, making a better country. And if I want to get a copy of this, someone listening right now and would like to get a copy of this, how will they reach out to you and where will they get it?
Well, for those that are within Juba, there are some copies in Brook Bookshop. Others are in Jebel Market. Then to those that are in East Africa, there are books in Aristoc Bookshop, one of the largest bookshops in Uganda.
All right. Thank you so much, Aja, for coming to Mirai Studios. Just before you leave, what would you like to tell us? What will be your message when it comes to issues of literature, writing books, women, and of course, just a better country that you talked of?
I think I would like to tell the youth that we need to change the country, and we do not have to look up at our leaders, blame them and say everything that they must fix this country. No, to build a country needs everyone on board. The youth have their role to play. The leaders have their role to play. The same thing with women. So we need to find where we can be very important in nation building, then put in all our efforts to make sure we achieve that goal. And at the end of the day, we will be achieving a common goal as a nation.
All right. Aja, thank you for coming to Mirai Studios. We wish you all the best.
Welcome. Thank you.
Aja Tabita is the author of the book, The Woman of Kush, My Country in War and Peace. Grab yourself a copy of that book, of course, if you can, so you can get to read it and find all the interesting stories in the book. That brings us to just 21 minutes to the top of the hour. You're listening to Mirai Breakfast Show with me, Sabit William. Good morning.